And Joy's downstairs, so. I'm going to get something to drink here. Where are you off to?
To you.
Oh, sorry. Earn your way to Florida?
Yeah.
Good evening, folks. We probably better get started here. Running on Baptist time tonight. So, Okay, looking at Journey into Knowing God, Lesson 2, When You Are Afraid, Jehovah. It's like there's a jet going over or something. Something howling. Okay, all right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we have together. Thank you for the study we have as we seek to learn some of these important names and the meanings behind them and the comfort and encouragement it can give us and others that we'd share it with. So we just pray you'll guide us in our time now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I don't think I need to ask. We've all been afraid at some time or another, maybe many different times, maybe sometimes for the same thing. But and there's a variety of reasons we can become frightened. I don't think they've all been hired yet, but does that send a little chill up your spine? 87,000 new IRS agents that are trying to prove that they're worth whatever money they're going to get. They're going to be looking for something from somebody. So, you know, whether it's finances, health problems, problems at work, relationships, just, you know, it goes on and on and on. Things that we're afraid things aren't going to work out quite right. And so when we're afraid, it's good for us to know this name, Jehovah. And last week, last 2 weeks, I guess it is, that we've been looking at Elohim. We got to know. What does that mean? Pardon? Okay, right. God who creates us. He's the creator. He's a doer. Okay. And we'll see that Jehovah does things too, but it's a lot of things that surround this name, states that here in this first part that we're looking at tonight, but it has to do with relationships. You know, it's a personal God that we have, okay? And it isn't that we all have our own personal God that's separate from somebody else's, okay? there's enough of him to go around for all of us, all right? And how do we recognize that in Scripture? We came across what word? What's it going to look like? Capitals, all capitals, L-O-R-D, okay? When you see that, even though you don't read Hebrew, behind that word is the word Jehovah, okay? And Elohim is seen as God. Jehovah is recognized in our scriptures as Lord. And again, all capital letters. And so it says that we need to know God by this name when we're afraid. Why? According to Proverbs 29:25b, it says, so whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Okay. Man, we need that on the banks, right? We have the FDIC, but that's only guaranteed up to a certain amount. You know, God's good for all of us, okay? Not just for a certain number of people, all right? Like you get on an elevator and you look at there and see how many pounds it's good for. If there's only three or four of you in there, there's no problem. If the thing is, they're squeezing them in, it's like, okay, is the cable going to hold? I always think of that one. Any of you guys like rides like the double Ferris wheel or some of these things at Great America? And I'm sitting there and that thing's rocking. And I'm looking to see if the bolts are tight. Is that cable frayed? I don't like it up here. So, yeah, you can see a long way. But Yeah, it's God's going to be there for us, and He's not going to come loose at a important time. Well, that leads us to this first thing here. He says there are three things that are going to help calm our fears. One of them is God's presence. And I think we as parents recognize that. Your kids, when they're little, you know, and the thunderstorm's coming, and then you get one of those big kaboom, and it sounds like it hit a tree outside the window, and the windows rattle and everything else, and before long, you've got company. You know, they're crawling into bed with you or wherever else that you're at. They kind of like know mom, dad's around, you know? And, well, it's good to know that God's around. Again, some people had some kind of goofy idea that God was like an absentee landlord. Or it's like, you guys remember the Tops? You push, you know, on the top, or you pull the string and you get it going. Well, it's kind of like God got this earth going, and then he just kind of wandered off somewhere. When this thing starts wobbling and falls, there's nobody there to help us. Well, God's not like that, all right? He created this world not to just leave it flounder on its own. Don't you think by now, if he did that to this earth, we'd be wobbling worse than we are right now? And it's a few thousand years. That must have been quite a spin that got started. Okay, so Old Testament times, it says here, Jehovah was used most often. Here it says 6,500 times. That's just kind of a round number. Somewhere on the other sheet that I give you, I got, 68? Yeah, 6,823 times. And hopefully nobody had to count those by hand, but there's a lot of them. And we see here mentioned in the creation account, God being mentioned, and we see it talks about Elohim, but it also mentions Jehovah, and sometimes we see both of these names together. As we see here, he says, what do we read in Genesis 2:7a? It says, the Lord, again, Jehovah, God, formed man of the dust of the ground. Okay? So Jehovah God, okay? Not that they had lots of gods in Adam and Eve's day, but we'll find out later on as we talk about Moses, when it comes to Egypt and others, they did have lots of gods. This is just, I don't know, a bugaboo about mine. I was listening to some tape here a while back, and I was talking about gods, and the guy just didn't seem to differentiate. If I talk about gods, I'm using small g, okay? They're not equal to or anything like the real God. They're man-made gods. But here, as he mentions here, Elohim, awesome creator, Jehovah, again, personal God for us, and we're going to see what all he does. I'm not going to get in too much into this, how we come about with Yahweh. Excuse me. Hebrew language is a little bit strange compared to what we're used to working with. Here it's just consonants, okay? You look up the Hebrew scriptures, you're going to find YHWH, and we fill in the vowels, okay? And it's kind of a combination thing of two different words here. For one thing, and I don't think it mentions it here, but will in my notes here, and maybe I can go back and forth just a little bit. But if you were in a Jewish synagogue and they're reading through the scriptures, you're not hearing them talk about Jehovah did this and Jehovah did that. They don't say the name Jehovah because they're afraid that they might, you know, twist it somehow, not show it proper respect. And so sometimes it's referred to as just, they'll mention the name, or they talk about Adonai. Well, what they did here is they took the vowels out of Adonai and added them into Jehovah, so that we end up with Jehovah. That may not be a very clear explanation, but again, I won't test you on that, so nobody else probably will either. But we see him active as we look there with Moses. Moses meets the Lord there at, I mean, he grew up knowing about God, the God of Israel. His mom would have taught him, dad, others around him. But there wasn't any temple, there wasn't any tabernacle, there wasn't any place for them to go and worship. And so, you know, Moses out in the sticks, and he's been surrounded by all kinds of different gods there in Egypt. But when he flees Egypt, and he comes across the burning bush, and we see here that he finds out a little bit more about God. It's holy ground, take off your shoes, and so on. And he gives Moses a job. He gives him a responsibility. He wants him to go back to Egypt and to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Okay? So let's just assume, United States has been our country. We've been taken out of circulation. We've been slaves in Canada. And we're tired of being cold. No. Kind of the opposite of what they have in Egypt. And been there for hundreds of years now, and the Lord appoints you to go and to tell the Prime Minister of Canada, let my people go. Yeah, right. I'm not going to get past the front gate, all right? Well, Moses did have a little advantage that we wouldn't have, in that he grew up in Pharaoh's house. He knew the guy running the gate, but he also knew how to behave himself, would know the language, all the rest of that stuff. But, you know, he asked a good question, you know. When I tell him this, who am I going to say sent me? So God tells him. I'm satisfied Moses still kind of scratching his head after he gets the answer, but it says, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Okay. I'm sure he's going to set up and take notice when I tell him that, right? Well, I am that I am. That's really what's behind Yahweh. And as he mentions here, it kind of expands on a little bit. I'm the God who always has been. All right, I've always been here. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes that's kind of hard for me to wrap my brain around. There's nothing around that's always been here, you know? It doesn't matter whether it's in this country or some other country. When I was in the service in England, it was a bit of a thing to get used to. You know, here's this little thatch roof cottage. And the thing's 500 years old, and there's still people living in it. Or there's castles that were built around 1,000, you know, so they're over 1,000 years old, and they're still there. You know, around here, something's 50 years old, we tear it down, build something new, you know. But here we've got God who always has been, and he always will be. Nothing's ever going to change. And then he created all this, and then we have the Lord Jesus, who's just like Jehovah, is Jehovah, only God in the flesh, and we're able to see him now, and he's here, and the religious leaders are quizzing him, and trying to find, you know, who are you and where'd you come from and all the rest of this stuff. And he gives them the line before Abraham. Okay, Abraham is at the top of the heap. Okay, he's, you don't get any higher than Abraham, okay, unless you're God. And Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. He says, I existed before Abraham. That's, he's trying to say that he's God. That's when they started picking up stones. They wanted to stone him because they saw it as blasphemy. Here's this guy claiming to be God. And, I mean, Jesus was just telling them the truth. They didn't like what they heard, okay? If you want to be a, you know, a new prophet in town, that's one thing. But when you start claiming to be God, that's something else. And so here he, and then he makes a promise to us, to all believers, there at the end of Matthew 28:20. Remember, this is where he gives a great commission, tells us to go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you always. Okay? There's never any place that we're going to go that he's not going to be there. Now, isn't that an encouragement, Bob, that when you drive, you need some encouragement when you drive and you cross the line from Wisconsin and you're now entering Illinois. You're not leaving your God at home. Oh, there he is on the dash. You guys remember that, don't you? People used to drive around with it. One of them, that wasn't God. That was, what, St. Christopher or something? Don't see me hear much about him anymore. But, yeah, no, he's going with us wherever we go. And it doesn't matter if you're in an airplane or in a submarine or spaceship or out there on the taking a trip around the moon or whatever you happen to be doing, God's there with you, all right? And you may not be able to reach out and touch him, but that's where faith comes in. We accept God's telling us this by faith, that he's telling us the truth. Now, we're going to kind of stop here and save the rest of that rather than jumping into the first part of this next one. But let me just kind of run through a few things from this other sheet. And I'm not going to read all this because you guys can do that on your own. But some of it overlaps with what, because actually this was a sermon that I preached a long time ago. And but I thought, well, this is a little extra something on Jehovah here. And so, again, we're talking about some of the same verses, you know, where again, where he's talking to Moses and the fact that he's going back to Egypt. I mean, why wouldn't, what was the big deal about Moses going back to Egypt anyway? No. Yeah, he was still had his face on the wanted list in the post office. You know, he was a wanted man. He killed somebody before he left, got out of town before, you know, it's like people around here that kill somebody or whatever and head for the Mexican border and or some other border and try to get out of the country. Well, he got out. He wasn't terribly excited about going back. But he also says, you know, ask the same question. And God tells him this. Tell him, I am sent me to you. And again, God's always the same. Same God that Moses is talking to in his day, the same God that we're talking about today. We haven't got a second and third generation God here, you know, that they haven't passed all the word along. And I was talking, I won't get into all the details on that, but Bob and some of you others have had new systems put in at work, some new computer system, and there's a few hiccups along the way, and all the stuff doesn't get transferred. And well, that isn't something here that, well, yeah, we don't have a record on you. Somehow the system didn't pick it up, and so we don't have any information on you. God knows everything, you know. He knows our DNA. He's probably the only one that's interested. He knows more than, what's that place that you send it off to? Where you send your DNA off to and they tell you what? Yeah, his, what is it? Ancestry.com. He knows more about us than they do, okay? As he mentions here, he keeps his promises. Have you come across some people that have made some promises to you that they didn't hold up? Now, I realize sometimes it's an accident. Something comes up. Somebody gets sick. They can't be there or whatever. Other times people just forget or, I don't want to do that. So God doesn't do that. You know, when he says, I'm going to take care of you through this life, and then I'm going to take care of you through eternity, he's not going to come back and say, well, yeah, I know he said that, but I changed my mind. No, God doesn't do that sort of thing, right? He's good to his word, and we can depend on it. God's never broken a promise yet, and he's not going to start with you or me. And so we can take comfort in that. You got sometimes people that, promise things, but then they don't act, or sometimes they promise they kind of do a half-hearted job. They weren't really into it. If God says he's going to do something, he's going to follow through with it. Excuse me. I thought I was over all this, but that's when I wasn't talking, right? and he's there good times, bad times. He's not just a, when they say good time, Charlie, not just around when everything's going good for us. And he's there to help us out even when we make bad choices. You know, we can call on him. We shouldn't be just using him as a 911. You know, we wait till we're in a mess up to our neck, we got ourselves into, and then we cry out for God to bail us out. You know, if the smart thing to do is to talk to him before we ever get started on something, so we make some better choices along the way. But sometimes we're already into a situation, or maybe it's turned sour on us, no fault of our own. But we can continue to trust the Lord. He's not gonna be the friend that stabs you in the back. He's not gonna do a Judas on you or something. And we got the testimony of one that I think quite highly of. You know, we got Joshua. He's been Moses' right-hand man for 40 years. And then he takes over the leading of the people of Israel. Can you imagine how long that guy's prayer list must have been? You're leading a couple million people, and every time you step out the door, hey, Joshua, got a prayer request for you. He's getting towards the end of his life. And this is what he has to say there. He says in Joshua 23:14, he says, and behold, this day I'm going the way of all earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Okay, so he got him out of Egypt, or Moses did. They made it through the wilderness for 40 years. They go in and they cross the flooded Jordan River. They conquer Jericho and really, for the most part, most of the rest of the country. They did make some bad choices along the way in making leagues with the Gibeonites and a few others along the way. But when God says, I'm going to give you this land, he didn't back out and say, changed my mind. You know, I found somebody else I want to give it to. No, he gives it to them. Now, they had to go in and fight, but he also promised that he was going to give them the victory. And he said, everything God promised you, he's given to you. And then he says in verse 15, he says, therefore, it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring upon you all the evil things until he hath destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Okay, so you got a choice. You continue to follow him, he's going to bless you. You decide that you're going to turn your back on God, well, he's got a promise out there. He's going to get you. All right, there's going to be a payday for it. But through it all, whether it's Moses or Abraham or any of the other ones, when God made a promise, he's going to follow through with that. And so when he promises that he's going to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, he's going to give us the gift of eternal life, and we have assurance that we're headed for heaven, he's never going to pull a switch on us. It's not a bait and switch thing. It's going to happen just like he said it would. And so when he says, this is jumping ahead, but when he says, one of these days I'm coming back after you, trumpet's going to blow, and you're coming on up. It's going to happen, folks. And there are going to be people left behind, and that's why we need to be talking to them about the Lord. But we might be able to share with them a little bit about Jehovah, and especially in a time when they may be afraid. They may not know anything about the names of God, and it can be a comfort to you and possibly to others too. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you as we just kind of getting started here, looking at Jehovah. Over 6,000 times your name's used over and over and over again. It might sound a little bit like in a house where there's little ones and they're running around all day long, mommy, 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 mommy. That might be what it sounds like for you as we're all calling on you for one thing or another. But thank you, Lord, you don't just ignore us. You hear our prayers, you respond to us, and you meet our needs. And you've promised to meet our needs again through this life and through eternity, and we can count on that. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.